Well, today we're visiting with a guest who's joining us by phone this morning. Dr. Michael Lewick-Trams is with us, and he's got a series of programs that he's been presenting to folks all over the state, especially here in parts of western Iowa, and he'll have a whole chunk of shows coming up here this next week in Manning at the German House Barn there for folks to enjoy. It's a little bit about Iowa history. Dr. Lewick-Trams, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Jeff.
Talk a little bit about some of the presentations. You are going back a little bit into Iowa history.
Yeah, the moment our speaking tour focuses on Iowa 1914 to 1948. The first program is called Kicking the Kaiser, anti-German hysteria in World War I. Some of your people might know where Lakota, Iowa is. There's one called Germania. Lincoln, Iowa is what's called Berlin. During World War II, there was a very strong anti-German reaction. I was told the conductors on the train to the city wouldn't call out Schleswig or Holstein and would call out numbers instead. That's how rabid the anti-German hysteria was. Second program is called The Killer, the flu pandemic of 1918, early 1919. Over 8,000 Iowans died, according to Cedar Rapids Gazette, in their research in that period from the flu, which came from Kansas. It was not the Spanish flu. It was actually Kansan flu. The third program is called The KKK, America's White Cancer. I talk about second wave of the Ku Klux Klan, which was also in Iowa. There were tens of thousands of Klan members here. Oddly, they weren't particularly anti-black. They were rapidly anti-Catholic. And the fourth topic is called the Cow War. The Cow War focuses on farmer rebellions during the Great Depression, when literally farm families couldn't feed their kids, and farmers were desperate, and they actually blocked roads and punctured tires to stop sending commodities to market. These are the four topics for the moment, but there are others as well.
How did you come up with these specific topics and this particular time period to focus on?
Well, these four topics that I just mentioned, imagine that you have a brown spot on your hand that turns black. You go to the dermatologist, they take a biopsy, don't they? And they send that little probe of your skin to the lab, and they cut each little layer off and then examine it to get an overall picture of what's going on in that cancer cell. So these four perspectives of the generation of our parents, or more likely grandparents, even great-grandparents, can give us a window into current day. I mean, we again have social issues like immigrants. The KKK was rapidly anti-immigrant, especially Catholic immigrants, Irish, Italian, Poles. So it's like a distant mirror or a window for our own times. But you can't really go around talking about current issues without getting people all hopped up. But when you look at these historical case studies and you say, how was it that the governor of Iowa could ban speaking any language but English during the war? This was aimed at the Germans, but any language, Bohemian, the Czechs over in Stillville and Cedar Rapids, Danish, Elkhorn and Timbleton, the Dutch, Appel and Orange City, you were not supposed to speak anything but English in public. How does that work in a democracy? And the reason for it. We take these, quote, distant stories from a century ago and ask, how do these dynamics work? How do you just, tomorrow, no one can speak any language other than English in public. How does that work? The government even said, if your English isn't good enough to go to church, then have your religious services in your home. You know, so the government is telling Iowans who don't speak English well enough to have church at home. So these four topics, you know, farmer rebellion, the flu. Could we have a flu epidemic today or some other? You know, we've got the measles at the moment. It's not quite like the flu, but how do we fall victim to these pandemics that break out? You can find out about that in the case of World War I, in the war when this worldwide flu pandemic broke out. So all these topics, they're from a century ago, but they're really asking timeless questions. How should we live together and how should we not live together?
Well, and not only are they timeless questions, but also they're something that may very well spark some emotions in folks.
Yeah, we've had people come. It's odd. Everywhere you go, people will come to the end of the program and whisper, they used to burn crosses down at the pasture, you know, around our down on Gravel Road past the cow pasture. Or someone will come and say, well, my Uncle Raymond died as a baby in 1918 flu. And yet in everyday life, Iowans don't talk about these things. If anyone doubts that there was a thriving KKK movement in Iowa and Indiana and Minnesota in that period, you just have to Google Ku Klux Klan second wave. The Iowa State Historical Society has published a whole issue about the Klan in Iowa with pictures of the Klan marching down Locust Avenue in Des Moines. I mean, these are experience, but we've forgotten them for good reason. I mean, they're not always pleasant things. You know, the mass death of thousands of people in a couple of weeks, the Klan running around spouting hateful, stupid things, anti-German hysteria. How can you take the largest ethnic group in the country, German Americans are still the largest ethnic group, if you break down Hispanics by Mexican American, Cuban American, etc., how do you take the largest minority, make them into, you know, this sort of fringe group, and you cajole them and tease them, and you know, how does that work? And so I think people will have emotions, and it's good. We need to ask ourselves, how could this have been, and how do we feel about it today, and could these dynamics repeat?
Exactly. And that's the whole key, is to try to wrap this around to, yes, it was maybe 100 years ago, but like all historical events, how does that fit into today's society? How do we learn from that?
So this Friday, for example, I'll be speaking to Manson, Iowa Public Library, about the other POW story involving Iowa. There were thousands of Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, Dakota men, the 34th Division, were captured by the Germans in one night in Tunis, in North Africa, February 43. They were flown to Italy in rickety planes and sent in boxcars to Nazi Germany and spent 2 years as guests of Hitler. The reason I tell that story is the most American POWs per capita in World War II in Nazi German camps came from here. And they came from Atlantic and Red Oak and that part of the world, Corning and Clarinda. And so I tell these stories both directions. One of the things I look for in my tell these stories, what were the similarities of the men's experiences, either as German or Midwesterners and the other countries, and what were the differences? The similarities actually are much more surprising and profound than the differences. The differences you can imagine, but the similarities, both groups I interviewed about 50 Midwestern guys and about 50 German men who've been in Algona. I asked them, what was their favorite music? And both groups said, Don't Fence Me In, even though it was an American composer. The Germans' favorite song was Don't Fence Me In, and then both said they liked Marlene Dietrich's Lily Marie. So, you know, the POWs missed their mothers, they missed their girlfriends, they missed food from home, they missed beer, and their freedom. So in telling all these stories, I look for commonalities in groups of people. You know, we all want to fit in somewhere, we all want to love and be loved, but war makes that complicated, and especially social movements focused on hate, like the Klan, anti-German hysteria, the other, which I call the people we don't know and are often afraid of, the other scares us, so we have a movement to whack them on the head. You know, we're afraid of the Germans, they're going to be disloyal to us and actually be pro-Kaiser, so rough them up and threaten them and make them buy Liberty Bonds. They don't, we'll take their cattle and sell them at auction, which happened in the Great Plains. So these stories are really gold mine for tips on how to live today better or how not to live.
I know you've done a tremendous amount of research and work on this to put all this information together, but Doctor, I'm guessing when you go out and do these presentations, you probably hear some stories from folks who have heard stories from their ancestors a little bit about some of these topics. You probably pick up a little bit more along the way.
Oh, yes, indeed. And when we used to have our Buseum, which has been through Atlantic, it's been to Harlan, it's been all over the region, we literally had to have suitcases or boxes to put all the photos and the letters and the other things that people would give us. They were desperate that these stories not be lost and forgotten, especially the younger siblings or widows of veterans and POWs. We were given lots of diaries. People gave us recorded interviews that grandkids had done in the 70s during the bicentennial. So everywhere we went, we were still collecting and then transferring things to the Gold Star Museum in Des Moines and Johnston, to the Iowa State Historical Society. At the moment, I'm doing these speaking tours by myself. We don't have a staff for that. But I'm always interested to hear the stories. People can educate me things that I don't know, and I'm willing to pass that knowledge on to others as best I can, whenever I can.
Yeah, invaluable stuff to be able to pass along, especially those first-hand accounts or second-hand accounts from folks who have heard it from relatives, too. Plenty of opportunities for folks to come by this Sunday through middle part of this next week up in Manning. Can you kind of run down the schedule for folks?
I'd be happy to. On Sunday afternoon this weekend, I think it's as of 4, for 2 hours, I'll be giving a guided tour of the Manning House Barn site, not just the barn, but the 1915 model farm next door. And I'll be talking about what can people do with the relics they have. Every little county seat has a historical society. Unfortunately, many of the old guard are dying and not finding new people take up their collecting and their research. What do you do with all of this stuff? How do you maintain its meaning and relevance to younger generations who may not know this history or care about it? So Sunday from 4 to 6, followed by a potluck, we'll be looking at the house barn itself. Monday night, I'll be talking about the killer, the flu pandemic of 1918-1919. On Tuesday night, the topic will be the white cancer, the KKK in the 1920s, including Ireland. My great-grandfather in Belmont was in the KKK in the 1920s. And then Wednesday night will be the Cow War, talking about farmer rebellions in the Midwest during the Great Depression. The schedule is at our website, www.traces.org. That's TRACES.org. All are welcome, and entry is free.
Very good. You answered all the questions right there. Dr. Lewick Trams, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck on the tour. It's a very ambitious tour that you folks are on. I hope you have a lot of success with that.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much.